Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And that's the scripture I felt like I need to read to you.
Amen.
So if you look at page 379 in the green book, there is a fountain. People are under the misconception that this is a social thing, that we gather just to socialize. And I know there's probably some churches like that, and that they gather to make connections, business connections or whatever, to benefit themselves out in the world. They've missed the point. I'm glad that one night a long time ago, I made it to the fountain.
Amen.
And we read about, let's just start right here. We read about a fella, it's been a long time since I read the scripture, but I believe he was up in years, maybe 40 or older. And somebody had brought him every day down to the pool of Siloam. And every year at a certain time of the year, the water was troubled. And whoever was the first to step off into the water was made whole.
Amen.
He didn't make it in the first year. He didn't make it in the second year. He didn't make it in the third year. But year after year, day after day, he continued to visit the pool on the hope that one day he'd be the first to step in.
Yeah, bless him, Lord.
Now, he could have went down there just any day.
Bless him.
And not just stepped in, but got all the way in and went all the way under. But it wouldn't have done him any good.
That's right.
Because the water had to be troubled.
That's right.
Before that he could be made whole.
Yes. Amen.
I said pool of Siloam. You could call it a fountain if you'd like to. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between just a pool of water and a fountain? In a fountain, and got a good gift here recently. From Danny and Sandy, they bought me a little miniature fountain. The difference between a pool and a fountain is the water's moving.
Yeah.
The water's moving. There is a fountain. You see, just a pool of water wasn't good enough. That old boy had to step down in the fountain. If we get to the Lord, we'll have to get under the fountain.
Amen. Amen.
This song, it's in the songbook 379. The title says, there is a fountain. Verse 1 says, there is a fountain filled with blood flowed from Emmanuel's veins.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And sinners plunge beneath that flow, lose all their guilt and stain.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad one day you made it to the fountain?
Amen. Amen.
You remember the day you got in?
Amen.
You remember how clean that you felt?
Yeah.
You went down dirty.
Yes.
I did. Preacher, you was just 8 years old. I was just as black with sin as you were. I don't care what your background is. A sinner is a sinner. And they're blackened and filthy with sin. And it don't matter how much mama scrubs. It don't matter what kind of detergent she uses. It don't matter how much you try to clean yourself up. You never will get truly clean until you get into the fountain.
Amen.
There is a fountain. Let me read you another verse. We've got just a minute. Let me read you just another verse here. This is over in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. It says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. You see, men had tried to clean themselves up. They had made the Lord had given them 10 commandments, and they couldn't even do that. They were supposed to bring sacrifice, and the priests couldn't keep themselves clean long enough to help the children of Israel. And so there had to be a fountain open. It was open at Calvary. And aren't you glad that you got under it? Now you pray for me for a little while.
Lord.
There is a fountain.
Yeah.
Verse 2 in that song says, the dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day.
Yeah.
Do you remember the thief? There were three that were crucified on that day, wouldn't they?
Amen.
One on the left, one in the middle, and one on the right. And the Bible doesn't say, I can't read as far as telling the proximity between the three. Maybe it was just a few inches.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a few feet. I don't know. But the thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy paradise.
Amen.
And I don't know. We read about some of the things that Christ went through. I read where he was bloodied. Did you read that?
Yeah.
All that took place without the blood would have been negligible. It would have been of no significance whatsoever.
Amen.
And I don't know the proximity, but I know this. Somehow, some way, that thief on the right was able to get under the flow of the blood of Calvary.
Amen.
How do you know, preacher? Because Jesus himself said so. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. To be perfectly honest about it, I don't know how I got under it. Do you? I sure didn't deserve it. I sure didn't deserve salvation. I sure didn't deserve forgiveness of my sins. I sure didn't deserve a home in heaven when this life was over. But thanks be to God, somebody cared enough to give me direction down to the fountain.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you had a good old church mama, that you had some saint of God that cared enough for you to give you? Now listen, it's not instinct. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, instinct draws us away from the fountain. But thanks be to God, there was some saint of God that cared enough for me, that cared enough for you, to give us direction on how to get down to the fountain.
Amen.
Naaman needed direction to get down to the fountain. And so God sent a little captive maid whose name we never learn that gives him direction on how to get down to the fountain. He knew a lot of different rivers, didn't he? Pharpar and Damascus, but they weren't the fountain. He had to go down to Jordan. It didn't look like much. It didn't have a good reputation. But it had exactly what he needed.
Amen. Yeah.
You go to different churches. You go to different beliefs. You can be agnostic. You can be whatever you want to be. But there's only one way that you can get from earth to glory. And that's to get down to the fountain.
Amen.
And out of the flesh is an enmity against God. And it's going to pull you away from the fountain. It's going to try to keep you away from the goodness of God. It's going to try to keep you away from hearing that preaching about the blood and about Calvary and about raising on the third and appointed morning. But down deep inside of a man, we're created in his image and in his likeness. And there's something on the inside. What is it, preacher? It's old time conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that will draw you down to the fountain.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a fountain.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you got a drink?
Amen.
I've been going over to Brown's this week to their revival. And I heard two or three different testimonies that talked about going back to Bethel. That's usually the place that people describe as the place where they met Jesus for the first time. They're the place where they received salvation. The place where they first got a drink. But I've got news for you. And that's good to go back and to remember the day that you first got clean. But I don't have to go across the bridge into the bedroom on the back to go back to the fountain.
Amen.
How come, preacher? Well, let's take a look at the woman that was down at Samaria. She met Jesus at the well, didn't she? It said, the scripture said, he must needs go through Samaria. Right. And being weary, he sat thus on the well. Yeah. We're not always spring chickens, are we? We're not always full of energy and zest. Life gets hard. And sometimes we have to rest. But if we have to rest, the house is not the place for us to do it. We just need to sit thus on the well. And so we read where Jesus was there and he sat thus on the well. And she came and he asked of her a drink. And she said, "What? Why would you ask of me a drink? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan." And we read on down in there, don't we, about how she said that our fathers say in this mountain is the place where men ought to worship. And you say Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. If we're not careful, we'll drink out of a cistern instead of the well. For my people have committed two great evils. This is in Jeremiah.
Yeah. That's right.
They have forsaken the fountain of living water. That's one. And have hewn themselves out cisterns. Not just cisterns. Let me explain that. I guess I explained that. I ran across that the other night. Some of you weren't here, so let me explain that term. A cistern is something that maybe your great-grandma or grandpa might have had when they didn't have running water in the house. They might have caught rainwater. It's a something that's set up to catch water. And as long as the rain is falling and water is running into that or dropping into that, it's good water. There's nothing wrong with it. It's getting plenty of oxygen. It's getting stirred up and stirred around. But if you let that water sit and there's no activity in it and the water never moves and there's no oxygenation in the water, sooner or later that water will begin to stagnate. Would you rather have a good, clean drink of water from the fountain? Or are you drinking that stagnant stuff from that cistern that bore over? Let's finish the verse. He said, not only cisterns, but have you themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water? You, this lady that was at the well there at Samaria, she was drinking from a broken cistern. Oh, a cistern that couldn't hold any water. What are you talking about, preacher? She was dependent on tradition. She was dependent on what she had been taught as a child. Listen, I don't know your family background. You may have been raised Catholic. You may have been raised atheist. You may have been raised to believe this, that, or nothing whatsoever. But I've got good news for you. Your family background cannot keep you from getting to the fountain. Jesus, he gave free access. He said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life. Freely. Oh, the best water you've ever drunk. And you don't have to pay a penny for it. It's been paid for in full at Calvary.
Amen. Amen.
There is a fountain. You see, the people in Jeremiah's day, they had what we read over in the New Testament. A form of religion, but denying the power thereof. Oh, that was that Old Testament stuff, preacher. Take a look. It's in our world today.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're drinking. You might be drinking out of that cistern that says, well, my family's been in church for years. I'm okay. My grandpa was a song leader and a deacon. My dad was a song leader and a deacon and taught Sunday school. And I was still a little lost sinner boy. That didn't affect my salvation, not one bit. I still had to make my way all.
Bless you, Lord.
Let's go back to the pool for just a minute where the water had to be troubled. I just finished preaching to you about a fella that was at the pool every day. I just finished preaching to you about a fella that never missed a day at the pool. Somebody brought him and set him down there every day. But all those years that he sat there at the edge of the pool and he never got in when the water was troubled, did that help him any whatsoever? Did he regain any strength in his legs or in his hands? Was he able to do any better than what he had done once before? Let me preach this to you. That cistern you're drinking out of, relying on your family and their deeds for the Lord, it's just something that you're relying on, and it will not get you from earth to glory. All those years that man sat down there at the pool, he didn't get a thing out of that until the day he got down in the fountain.
Amen.
Very true.
Church membership is good, but that's just a cistern a lot of people rely on. It's dry. There's no water in that broken cistern. You've got to get all the way into the fountain.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you have been down there, but you forgot how good the water tastes, and so you're relying on these broken cisterns to get you through life. Naaman was a mighty man of valor, wasn't he? I've not forgotten him. You thought I'd you're going to let him lay there full of leprosy. I've not forgotten him. He didn't even get to talk to the preacher. The preacher didn't even come out to talk to him. The prophet didn't even come out to say, hey, Naaman, how are you? I've heard of you. You're a pretty good fella. He didn't even go out there and speak to him. He just sent his little servant Gehazi out with the word. Let me relay this to you. I don't care what your stature is on this earth. You're just a sinner.
Amen.
In the judgment of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you needn't expect Jesus to grab you by the hand or to grab you by the back of the hair of your head and drag you down.
Bless him, Lord.
He's not going to show up in that way.
Right.
Let me tell you how he is going to show up. He's going to send his little servant to tell you that you need to get into the fountain.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
There is a fountain.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, we're living in a dark day. Yes, we are. That don't mean we can't get clean.
Amen.
I've not forgot the woman at the well either yet. I'm going to get back to her. I just got to go as the Lord will let me.
Bless you.
Naaman got wroth. He got angry. He said, I thought sure he'd come out and just lay his hand out over the leprous place and I'd be made whole. And here he is asking me to go down to that old nasty Jordan River and to dip myself 7 times in it. Aren't the rivers of far part of Damascus far better than this? You may find a church with a bigger number. You may find a church with more programs. But if the Lord has sent you here, whoa, this is the
you can get into the mouth.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Now, did you hear what I said? I'm not preaching to you that we're the only ones going. Don't you misunderstand me. If I preached you that, I would be out of line with the Bible. John saw a number no man can number. Debbie's got a definite number on the membership. So I'm out of the book there if I preach you that. I'm just preaching you God had a reason for sending you to this place. Because he knew there'd be a family here that would love you.
That's right.
And would care for you and pray for you and be for here for you in your time of need. There is a family. And Naaman's servant, after Naaman had blowed off all that steam because he didn't get it his way, you know what Naaman was wanting? A cistern instead of a fountain. It may be a whited sepulcher. It may look beautiful on the inside, but you know what's inside of those big whited sepulchers? Dead men's bones. Nothing living. After Naaman had blown off his little scene and pitched his little hissy fit because he didn't get his way, his servant eased up to him. He said, "Now, Naaman, if that man had asked you to do some great thing, you'd have jumped at the chance. What is it just to go down to Jordan at the dip 7 times? What big challenge is that?" Now, let me tell you something. Some of you may not have this. I've got a little time.
Bless
if Naaman had went down there raw to Jordan, he'd never been made clean. The point of going to the fountain is to get clean.
Yeah.
The point of going to the fountain is to wash your sins away.
Yeah.
That means not just those things you knew you did and you shouldn't have done. That means those things you're holding on to and you aren't letting go of.
That's right.
That anger, that bitterness, that grudge, that greed. Give it to Jesus. Have you ever tried to clean yourself up? You know what happens? This is in there, I'm pretty sure. It's like the hog going back to the slop. You can clean a pig up all you want to. The minute you turn them loose, here they go. Muddy and nasty again. That's what we do when we try to clean ourselves up. That's because we're not capable of that. We need to go to the refiner.
Amen.
We need to go to one that can really clean us up. All right, pray for me for just a minute. So Naaman went down to Jordan and he dipped himself how many times?
Seven.
It hurts, don't it? And it gets discouraging when that person that you have prayed for so long finally comes into the house of God. And you prayed that God would deal with them. And you prayed that God would move on their heart. And you prayed that God would touch them. And the service goes. And then the service ends. And they get up and they walk out the door. And you didn't see them make a single move. Even Naaman, a mighty man of valor, had to wash 7 times. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it takes a while for the seed. The seed can be sown, but what happens if the seed doesn't germinate? New life never springs forth. I believe the Bible said Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. I don't know. know I'm going to do my best to preach your people the gospel, but it may take watered a little bit. Well, these good sisters may have to sing a song that'll bring tears to their eyes. Oh, one of these good brothers may have to talk about the goodness of God and how much they're blessed to stir that up on the inside. It may take more than one trip down to the house of God to get clean, but if you'll keep going and keep going, God will wash you in the fountain and make you clean.
Amen.
We want to pray one time. Is your name Elijah? Elijah prayed and the fire fell, didn't he? But then when he was up on the mountain praying for rain, he had to pray seven times. And you're telling me you can pray it down in one? I don't read your name in the Bible. Come on, folks. Have a little perseverance. Have a little steadfastness about you.
Mm-hmm.
When your legs, I believe science tells us, there's only a certain number of days that we can make it without water in our system. You know what happens when you keep going to that broken cistern and you never get a drink of the real thing? As a Christian, you'll swivel up and dry up. And then when the power of God comes, you can't feel it because you're so dry, dehydrated. It takes much more for you to get back where you need to be than it does for somebody that's took a drink every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want to thank flesh. There's a spiritual being on the inside of you and I. And you need the preached word of God.
Amen.
You need the Spirit to move. You need to hear the good gospel songs. And I'm old-fashioned. I'm going to readily admit that. But there's even some newer songs, if you listen to the words, as long as they're giving praise to the Lord, that's really all that matters.
Right.
If they're praising men and their flesh, we need to leave it alone.
That's right.
But if it's talking about praising the King of Glory, that's all right.
Amen.
Well,
all right. You're going to wish I'd hush here in a minute.
We sang these same 14 songs. And we have church this way. And there is no other way. And anybody that does it any other way is not really where they need to be. Really? Come on. One of the first lessons I learned as a young pastor was that God can move in a lot of ways, and He don't need me to do it.
Amen.
He can work just fine without me, but I've got to have
Him.
Because I have to have a drink.
Amen.
Now, I'll preach to you about, let me finish up with Naaman. You all know what he did. He dipped himself seven times in Jordan. And on the seventh time, he came out whole, didn't he? He realized what a miracle had happened. He didn't have to doubt it. He didn't have to wonder. He knew something special had happened in his life. And he went back to Elijah's house, didn't he? And he offered up alms. He offered up an offering because he was thankful for what God had done in his life. We've been down to the fountain. What have you got to show God that you're thankful that he moved, that he got you in?
Amen.
We want to offer him nothing. Really? He washed you and made you clean. He saved your soul from hell, and what have you offered him in return? We just sang the song. I've got so much to thank him for. It's a popular song among us Baptists. I like the song. It's got great meaning to it. But If you give me a gift and I'm thankful for it, shouldn't I reciprocate in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
Shouldn't I do something to show you that I appreciate what you've done for me? He saved your soul. And what have we done in return? Oh, we have been to the fountain. There's no other place like it. Now, Naaman wasn't of that country, was he?
No.
He went back down because he was the captain of the host, I believe, wasn't he? Of the Syrian army, if I'm not mistaken. Can't you see all them soldiers that served under him standing there in the tension? And Naaman said, I've been to a fountain.
Amen.
He had to tell it, I'm sure.
Amen.
And later in life, when he retired, when he wasn't physically able to be a soldier anymore, his children, grandchildren, he could tell them about the time that he went down to Jordan.
Amen.
Got in the fountain and was made clean. Oh, can't you see the man that got in the fountain down at the pool of Siloam? He said, I laid there for 40 years. But one day, that one day, I made it in to the fountain. John, oh, you went several years, didn't you? But that one day, you made it in. Mean anything to you at all?
Amen.
Anything at all?
Yeah.
It ought to be the best moment of your life.
Yeah.
When you made it in the family.
Yeah.
We need to quit depending on these broken cisterns.
Yeah, come on.
And start every day trying to make it back to the fountain. Now let's go back down to Samaria. She had had five husbands. And the one she was living with right then wasn't hers.
That's right.
I would say her ring of influence was zero. Very, very small. Because they knew her. They knew what kind of person she was. Ladies, you didn't send your husband around where she was at. Till one day, he said, if you have asked of me, I would give you a drink of living water.
Yeah.
Springing up into you and to everlasting life. Does that not sound like a fountain?
Yes.
Does that not sound like water moving?
Yeah.
You see, that's why I don't have to go the little mile and a half across the bridge and make the first right. Go in the back bedroom of that little white house. I got the fountain with me.
Amen.
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 Aren't you afraid you'll spill it out?
Amen.
Aren't you afraid that you'll drop it and break it? Aren't you afraid that somehow or another you'll lose it? No. God even had a plan for that. He fixed that. You see, an old fool like me can't make a mistake with it. It's sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
I can't mess it up. I can't spill it. I can't lose it. But I can still get in there and I humble my heart and I cry out to him. And still, you know what? It tastes even better than the day I got my first dose of it. Oh, how good it is to be able to drink from the fountain. You know where that water came from?
Yeah.
Let's get it. Let's get that. It's not a mystery. As a matter of fact, I can read that to you too. Chapter 22 of Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river,
there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Amen.
That's where your fountain comes from. Amen. That's where the water flows from. When I was a boy, most of you from Cobb County will remember, they had a big deal about the Pigeon River and how the paper company up in Canton had poured chemicals into it and polluted the river and killed the fish. And there was signs that were set up along the bank of the river telling people not to eat the fish and the stuff out of the river because the water was polluted. The fountain was set in place some 2,000 plus years ago, and the water is still just as clear as it was when Jesus said, "It is finished."
Amen.
It's still pure. We used to go hiking, and I know you would remember the name of the fella that we used to go with that worked at Ryan's.
Bill Phillips.
He'd take us up Mount Cameron, up the Appalachian Trail. As we was walking, as the little trail just went right off down to the left, he said, "Come here, boys." And we went down that trail and walked about as far as from here to the back door, and it looked just like a pile of leaves. It was about this time of the year. And he got down on his knees. He began to rake the leaves and the stuff away. And when he got all that out of the way, there was a spring there. Water trickled over a rock and down into the spring. And he said, "Here, you all taste this." And it was the coldest, cleanest water, H2O, that I have ever drank in my life. But one day when I was 8, that was just a little drink here. When I was 8, I was able to get all the way in. All the way in. Now listen, let me say this and then I'll hush and we'll go home. He showed me a line. And I waded out 1,000 cubits. And it was water up to the ankles. You know why the scripture goes, don't you? And then he went another 1,000 cubits, and it was water up to his knees. And then he went another 1,000 cubits, and it was water up to his loins. And then he went another 1,000 cubits, and it was water that was deep enough to swim in. If you want to get really, really clean, that ankle stuff will never get up here under your armpits.
Amen.
You got to get all the way in the fountain.
Amen.
You got to get all the way in the fountain.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, I was a late bloomer when it comes to stuff like that. I lived within a quarter of a mile of Douglas Lake. And Mom and Dad would not let us go. Because they were afraid if we got down there in that lake, we might drown. So I spent the majority of my young life afraid of water. It wasn't until I was married and grown and in my 30s that I went and took swimming lessons. And you see, if you're going to swim, you have to have a little bit of faith in yourself that you're going to be able to float, that you're going to know the right strokes, that you're going to know how to hold your breath and when to breathe and that kind of thing. If you're ever going to get truly in the fountain, it's going to take a little faith. By grace through faith you're saved, and not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen.
I've got a little home the Lord's blessed me with. Got a vehicle out there the Lord's blessed me with. But let me tell you about the best day of my life. It's when I made it down to the fountain.
Amen.
When I asked Jesus
to
save me, the best day you'll ever have in your life is whenever you receive salvation.
Amen.
I know we got a lot going on. We got the pageant about to start. Got the young people's going to do a little program next Sunday night. Got a lot of different things going on. The business meeting coming up and things like that. The reason you're in church this morning is to give sinners direction to the fountain.
Amen.
Now, Chuck, if you ask me, you said I've got to go to Rocky Top, Tennessee. I've never been there before. Mike, tell me how I can get there. You'd just be out of luck. Because I have never been to Rocky Top, Tennessee. I wouldn't have a clue. And if you relied on me, you'd wind up in the wrong direction somewhere out wandering around the countryside lost. If you needed directions to the fountain, I've been there. I know how to get there. And I beg you to try it. I beg you to make your way down to the fountain. What is that? That's the blood of Jesus. Oh, preacher, I'm scared of blood. This blood's the best one you've ever seen. It's the one that can make you clean from the inside out. It's the one that can... Oh, most of the time when we think about blood, we think about tragedy, don't we? We think about broken bones, about open wounds. We think about stuff like that. This is the only blood I know of that can bring joy. This is the only blood I know of that can bring peace. Are you lost in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Amen.
You see, it's all about what he did you on, did for you on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
He shed all of his blood. Did you hear me? All of his blood for you.
Amen.
Verse 3 talks about whenever I was washed.
Amen.
Verse 4, redeeming blood shall has been my theme and shall be until I die. I've been to the fountain. If you'll let me, I'm going to come back and preach tonight. And when I come back and preach tonight, you know what I'm going to preach to you about? About the time I went to the fountain. And if you let me come back and preach Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you some more about the fountain.
Amen.
And if I get to preach the following Sunday, I'm going to preach again about the time that I met the fountain.
Amen.
And got all, that's how good it is.
Amen.
It don't get old. Preacher, I've heard your testimony 100 times. And if I'm here another year, you'll probably hear it another 100.
Amen.
Because it was good to go down to the fountain.
Amen.
Don't ever be ashamed. Let me close with this. I know, and I really appreciate our young folks. I've been to different places. I've seen them. They don't pay a lick of attention. They'll talk. They'll giggle, they'll laugh, they'll run in and out and things like that. You have taught your children to respect the house of God. And I truly, truly appreciate that. And they're probably like me. They've been told, now you be quiet. And I understand that. And here's what I'm going to tell you. You be quiet until you can't anymore.
Amen.
And when your heart's about to bubble out of you, and you're so glad you're saved, and the Lord says, talk, let go! Tell about the time that you've been down to the fountain.
Amen.
Amen.
We got a bunch of saved young folks here. It ain't you, Sunday preacher. You might as well us. Well, the Lord gave me this today, so you'll be ready for you Sunday. We got a bunch of saved young folks at Dutch Bottoms. Would you like to be a strong Christian 20 years from now? Would you like to be in church? I'd love for you to be in church right here. I don't know what the future holds. Look. There, here, and here, Marvin, we ain't always going to be around. Somebody's going to have to carry the cause of Christ. I hope it's you. I really do. But if you're going to be here and you're going to be a good Christian as you are right now in 20 years, the best thing for you to do is to tell everybody you know about your trip down to the fountain. To tell everybody you know. To tell everybody about what happened to you on the front pew right up there on a Wednesday night. And tell them how good it felt, how, what the difference it made in your life. Tell them about the Thursday night that Jesus saved your soul. Tell them about being in Granny's car and the Lord speaking on the inside. Tell them about what happened up there on the altar in downtown Newport and Jesus saved your soul. Tell them what happened right up here on the altar at Dutch Bottoms. It'll make you a stronger. How about this, old folks? Will it make you a stronger Christian? Will it bring more faith in your life if you tell about the time that you went down to the fountain?
Amen.
Amen.
I wish you'd hush. Well, I'm going to in 2 minutes. You see, young'un, you're not the only one that struggles. I do too. Bobby Parker struggles too.
Amen.
John Dyke struggles too. Miss Pat struggles too.
Amen.
You're not the only one. So when I hear about your trip to the fountain, it gives this old preacher a little bit of joy down in his heart. Makes me happy. Makes me glad for one more that made it to the fountain, that made it all the way in. Because you know what happens if you made it down into the fountain? You're not crippled anymore. You're not laying there helpless anymore. You got hope and joy in your life. Thanks be to God. The fountain is still open. Admission is still free. And you can still get in.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. All right. Come on, Grady, play just a verse. We ain't going to stay long. But if you've not had a drink in a long time, if you've been relying on them broken cisterns to get you by and you're just about as dry as you can be, you might want to revisit the fountain. You might want to get in and get down and say, clean me, Lord. Help me, Lord, that I can be what you need me to be. And if you've never had a drink, if you've never been to the fountain, you can get it in today. Oh, if the Lord's knocking at your heart and you need salvation, come today. He'll save you right now. Anybody want to pray while Grady plays this verse? If you're glad you made it into the fountain, why don't you stand to your feet? Do you remember that day? Do you remember how good you felt? Do you remember the joy that was in your heart? Do you remember how good everybody looked after you got up? Hey, you just couldn't wait to tell somebody that you got saved. Here's what David said. David said, restore unto me the joy. Sometimes we just get so far out and relying on these broken cisterns that we forget how good it was to be in the fountain. You may just want to come and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Renew in me a clean heart, a right spirit, so that I can treat transgressors the way. Do you need to pray? You can come right now if you need to. And the Lord will work miracles for you if you'll trust him. He can take care of you. And if you've been in the fountain, I want to remind you of this. No matter how far you get in life, no matter what you wind up doing, you're always his child.
He loves you always. No matter how far you get from the fountain, no matter how dirty and nasty your life gets, deep in sin, the muck and the mar, remember the prodigal. You remember him. He was down in the hog pit in the muck and the mire. He said, I will arise and I'll go. And his father had every right to point his finger and say, look at you, son. You denied me. You wasted what I gave you. You threw it all away. He had every right to say that. But did he? No. He wrapped his arms around him and said, come here, boy. I love you. I want you to know that you're welcome. That you're welcome in my house.
Amen.
Somebody else. Somebody else want to come? Somebody else want to pray? Somebody else want to claim your family? Oh, the best thing you ever had was down at the family. Don't let Satan convince you that you're doing just fine without the Lord. Don't let Satan convince you that nobody cares, that nobody loves you. The church loves you. The Lord loves you. And he gave you this mountain to get it right. I don't care what you're going through. God knows, and he will help you in it if you will make your way down to the fountain. The world will hand you a broken cistern, saying nobody cares about you but us. Jesus died for you. How much more can somebody love you? Oh, don't you need him today? Don't you want him? It's okay. Don't let Satan beat you out of a blessing. It's okay. Don't let Satan tell you, oh, you just sit right here. This will be over in a minute. You know what you're going to walk out? You're going to walk out one more tormented individual. You're going to walk out with the same trouble you brought in here. But if you'll make your way down, oh, the joy that you can have in your heart. You go home with peace. There's nothing like it. Won't you come? Preacher, I'm all right just like I am, are you? Or do you lay in the bed and you worry at night? Are you tormented? That's not God. He speaks peace. He don't speak trouble. If you want him, you can have him.
Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart, something you need to say or do.